We're ready to start paper 34, which is on old single column, page 374. Okay, so they've, this is the third of these, this first block of papers, of this block of three papers. It begins part two, and they've been teasing us with this as we've been going through. We're finally here now. We're going to directly deal with those issues that we've been talking about of the primary eruption, that is transforming a creative spirit into a creative mother spirit, getting it to a phenomenon that is personal to someone besides the Creator Son. And in the process, of course, we will learn more about the Creator Son as well, obviously. The more you learn about one, the more you'll learn about the other, because they're very definitively a complementary pair, as we've talked about. So I don't think we need to do any more intro than that. Let's just jump in and start to unpack this a bit.
Paper 34, the local universe mother spirit. When a creator son is personalized by the universal father and the eternal son, then does the infinite spirit individualize a new and unique representation of himself to accompany this creator son to the realms of space. There to be his companion, first in physical organization and later in creation and ministry to the creatures of the newly projected universe.
Okay, so just the one thing to remind again, notice how carefully they worded it. You're definitely in an individuality mode. You're thinking of an individual coming into existence, so there's nothing, too complicated in that regard. We don't have to deal with complexities of deity immediately in this initial description of a creator son and a creator mother spirit coming into existence. But you notice that they didn't say conjoint actor. When they're talking about the third source and center, they very specifically said the infinite spirit, so that you remember that fundamentally, you can't think of the indivisibility, the personality of the third source and center as the conjoint actor being, fragmented in any way, to break off part and make a creative spirit. You need to take that non-personal pattern, if you will, expression, as opposed to personality expression of the third source and center, that is going to be, that a downstepped individuation is going to be made from, in terms of the third source and center. So it's the infinite spirit downstepped as a creative spirit. And remember how that story went when they described it back in the Supreme Spirits, very out in the open and overt for all to see, a creator son comes into existence. So you can think of it very straightforwardly. You have a universal father and an eternal son, and then there's a third fact that comes into existence as a super additive consequence. But this this coordinate expression of the creative spirit doesn't appear out in the open initially. It's within the third source and center, within the infinite spirit, that there is a separation that occurs. So it's very much, like an individual coming into existence within a womb. And that's a very important thing to remember, because even though they're not going to be saying it overtly, you'll see that between the lines, they're reminding you that, this isn't just the infinite spirit that's bringing this into existence. It's the infinite mother spirit. Yeah, so you can think of it very literally as within the womb of the infinite mother spirit, a creative spirit comes into existence. And then we'll slowly unpack an understanding of, well, what about that direct mother expression of this child? Why isn't it immediately there? Why don't you immediately call it a creative mother spirit, you know, even in the womb? So we're gonna, you know, that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna unpack that understanding of exactly how this being is being born from the infinite mother spirit. All right. Let's see. Let's go to the next paragraph here.
A creative spirit reacts to both physical and spiritual realities. So does a creator son, and thus are they coordinate and associate in the administration of a local universe of time and space.
Okay, you know, it's just a tiny little paragraph because they've said a great big thing there. They want you to unpack. Yep, go ahead, Gene.
Well, my question is, mm-hmm. is the new spirit, the creative spirit,
mm-hmm.
it's meant to be a complement, a coordinating complement
right.
to the sun,
right.
the creator sun.
Right.
But does it happen subsequent or...
No, simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
Instantly simultaneously. I mean, you know, you have a fundamental coordination of the three creator beings happening here. They're working synchronized.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you also don't want to ever forget sort of behind the scenes. You know, if you bring any sort of individuation into existence, if there's an individuation of any sort, doesn't matter if it's going to be a thing or a being or whatever, if somehow you don't have, you know, a universal continuum just, but now you have some continuum and then some separate individuation, that individuation process only can occur relative to the absolute of individuality. The Isle of Paradise is always, you know, the influence of its absoluteness of individuality is always in play. So it's not just technically the three persons. The Isle is involved in this process of individuating, it's that absolute of individuality that relative to which everything can be individuated. Doesn't matter what it is, spirit individuated or anything, if something is not going to be, in some extreme I am-like continuous infinity is going to become individuated. It has to do that relative to that fundamental pattern of individuation, the Isle. Okay, so before we get into the details of why, in this second paragraph, we have why physical and spiritual, just the last part. So you just take it at face value initially that there's physical and spiritual natures in each of them. So in other words, there's individuality and unity, in that order, natures of each of these two beings. So obviously, they can have associativity as a relationship to that. So when they say associate, there's two different things in play. One, that they're parallel. They both have individuality and unity, physical and spiritual. So they're obviously parallel and hence associable. They're like. Okay? But then each of them individually, there's individuality and unity, hence there's associativity as a super additive consequence. So it's really a threefoldness that's in parallel. And in that fullness of that threefoldness, there can be triunity. There can be coordinate. In relationship to the Paradise Trinity, they are coordinate. A full triunity of relationship is established between them. You know, the threefold actuality with triunity, the kind of unity talking about when you encompass that threefoldness, triunity. Okay, so that's the coordinate. So associate and coordinate. Now, as we always do here, we want to take it beyond the initial fact, and ask why. When they say a creative spirit reacts to both physical and spiritual realities, and so does the Creator Son. Why and why? Okay, so start with the creative spirit. Why can you, you know, in what way can you immediately understand that that can be? And you don't have to understand any of the physics of deity and stuff, okay? But just, you know, conceptually, where does that come from? Okay, you go back to the infinite spirit is what's being downstepped and individuated to make a creative spirit. Okay, so in the highest sense, you have an infinite spirit. Okay, I mean, what you can think of that fact as being is if you start with the infinite as an initial state of understanding, the infinite spirit is the infinite made spirit. So it's a spirit expression of the infinite. Okay, so it definitely has spirit. It's obviously at a very high level, okay, but it's definitely there. It's definitely unity fundamentally in the nature. So if you create this downstepped individuation of creative spirit, that's why they call it a creative spirit. Okay, the spirit part is just right there in the name. Okay, why physical? Why a relationship to individuality? Okay, the other way that you can understand that non-personal side, that non-personal aspect of the third source and center coming into existence, now if you're just thinking in the individuality viewpoint, you have the first source and center in a non-personal mode as the universal controller. And the universal controller has a relationship to the Isle of Paradise. Okay, so now we're kind of going back in the beginning sort of a picture. We don't have a third source and center yet. We're trying to bring it into existence and understand how it does in an individuality viewpoint. So you have, you know, once you have the Isle of Paradise and the Eternal Son, then you have two relationships, a personal one, the Universal Father to the Eternal Son, and a non-personal one, the first source and center as the universal controller, which is what relates to the Isle. So that relationship, the superadditive consequence of the relationship of the universal controller to the Isle of Paradise, is the infinite spirit. Okay. That non-personal controller aspect of the third source and center. So we were just talking about the Isle of Paradise is the absolute of individuality. Definitely, you know, the infinite spirit, you can understand very directly that it has innately in it a relationship to individuality and physical. So it's just very straightforward, see, that there's physical and spiritual, there's individuality and unity in a creative spirit. Okay, now how about the Creator Son? Okay, on the one hand, you have one of the parents of that Creator Son is the Eternal Son. Another designation, proper designation that you can give for the Eternal Son is the Absolute Spirit, capital A, capital S. So there it is again. Spirit, very directly. The Absolute Spirit is one of the parents. So it's going to have a relationship with unity, with the Spirit. The individuality is a similar thing. One of the parents is the first source and center. I mean, you know, if in a very specific sense, it would be the universal creator being the parent. But, you know, the universal creator is part of the fullness of God the Father. Again, one of those aspects is the universal controller, which is related to the Isle. Okay. So again, because the Father's relationship to the Isle and because the Father is one of the parents of a Creator Son, there's a linkage to individuality. Now, in that case, you can see it's a little subtler. It doesn't strike you as so direct expressing. It's a little bit more of a sort of a behind-the-scenes thing. You know, behind the Father is the Isle, you know, connected to the universal controller aspect of the first source and center. So we'll see how that difference comes into play when they start to function in a physical mode. All right, so that's the why. And you know, as much as you can do that, You know, and as soon as you can start doing that, any place in the Revelation, start to ask why and get an answer so that you can start to strike step with the truth. You aren't just limited to the superficialness of the words. You know, you start to understand. And the only way to understand is to begin to have some of these things separate very definitively so that you can see the relationship in your mind and you can understand the consequence of that relationship. Okay, so there you have it. So they're not only this complementary pair, but it's a complementary pair with sort of touching all the bases. They've got everything covered here between the two of them, in their full coordinated nature. They should be able to handle any aspect. They've got some measure of it, in one way or another, all embedded within them. All right, see, so that's why it's just a little paragraph by itself, because it's really, they're making a huge statement that they want you to absorb in that little paragraph.
These daughter spirits are of the essence of the infinite spirit, but they cannot function in the work of physical creation and spiritual ministry simultaneously. In physical creation, the universe sun provides the pattern, while the universe spirit initiates the materialization of physical realities. The sun operates in the power designs, but the spirit transforms these energy creations into physical substances. Although it is somewhat difficult to portray this early universe presence of the infinite spirit as a person, nevertheless, to the creator sun, the spirit associate is personal and has always functioned as a distinct individual.
Okay. So these dots. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
When they use the term spirit light in the middle there, where they say the sun operates the power, but the spirit transforms, which spirit are they talking about there? Are they talking about the infinite spirit or the mother spirit?
They mean the creative spirit there.
That's what they thought.
Yeah.
All the way through, they're talking about the creative spirit.
I mean, by and large, in this paper, if they just say the capitalist spirit, they're talking about the creative. Yeah, they'll qualify if they want you to think at a higher level. But yeah, especially when it's a creative spirit, in so many ways, it is the infinite spirit just acting localized, But and hence you can kind of drop the adjective and not really, be losing anything. Okay, so these daughter spirits are the essence of the infinite spirit, but they cannot function in the work of physical creation and spiritual ministry simultaneously. Okay, so we need to kind of just pause for a second and begin to get this picture forming of what this birthing, this long stretched out over evolution birthing process is like with what's going to become a creative mother spirit. So, like I said, fundamentally, what you're creating an expression of, a downstepping expression of, is the infinite mother spirit. And that mother nature is clear up at the co-infinite level, where the infinite mother spirit, that fact exists. So when you're talking about this being coming into existence, it's very much a top-down phenomenon. It's starting clear up at the co-infinite and working its way downstepping down to the finite. Okay? And as we'll see when we get forward here, a few papers, they actually state directly that the deity nature of this creative mother spirit, once you have a creative mother spirit, we talk about its father-son type deity for a creator son. The son is the foundational element, see there. They tell you directly so that you don't get off in confusion that it's not what you might initially think, mother-spirit. Because temporally, it seems like you have spirit to start with, then you add mother to it. So you would think it was mother-spirit deity. But it's not. It's spirit-mother deity. The mother deity is actually the foundational element. Spirit, you think of it as being added to that. And then think of it as, you know, the spirit is, you know, what's taking the lead then, you know, what's ahead of the foundational nature, and it's coming down. So you experience the spirit part first, and the mother part is following it down as it's downstepping. So that's why, from our perspective in time, it seems like it's in the other order. But in terms of its nature, the mother element is foundational. So it's coming down, and the mother part is there. So the personalizable deity is there, and it is personalized. It is personalized from the very beginning. And remember, this is a third source personality. Creative Mother Spirit is a third source personality, so it's personalized by the third source and center. You can think of also the infinite spirit aspect of the third source and center as being the reservoir for third source personality. Okay, so kind of in the same, you know, domain of the third source and center, you're thinking of both the substance and the personality of this being, you know, being actualized from that potential. It is a person from the beginning, but that personal nature is always above the more immediately tangible eye level. I mean, a lot of beings can experience, you know, the definitiveness of spirit energy. But deity is subtler, you know, so that mother deity, isn't so directly spirit-like and tangible. It's more just directly deity-like and less tangible until you can experience its personalization, which is tangible. So that's what, at the end there, when they're saying the Creator Son, who, yeah, he's a finite being, functioning in the finite, but he has an inner sight that goes all the way up to the absolute. So he can see her as a person, even though that personal nature is above everyone else's eye level. You know, it's not even down where someone supreme can see it, say. Remember, it's started clear up the co-infinite level. Okay, it's got a long ways to come down. So that's why, you know, he can experience her as a person right away. All right, but initially, it's just the creative. It's just the spirit part, and it's just called the creative spirit. It's just the spirit part that's going to come down and engage the finite. And so no one except the Creator Son is going to experience that as a personal phenomenon, but this is going to be acting. And it's going to be acting in coordination with all those power beings. You know, basically as another controller, another power being, you know, of a sort of a overarching nature for the local universe in this initial mode. Okay. And back when they talked about the infinite spirit, as a non-personal fact, functioning in this sort of a mode, they described the infinite spirit as the universal manipulator. You know, another sort of proper designation you can give to that non-personal aspect, the universal manipulator. See, so another way to think about the creative spirit is a downstepped expression of the universal manipulator. The infinite, you know, the third source and center as the universal manipulator when they're in this mode. Okay, the non-personal, universal manipulator, like, you know, spear point is coming down first, and it needs to non-personally, remember how a lot of the power beings are literally non-personal for the same reason. You need to be able to do this stuff with this energy without a personality encompassing it. You don't want a personality, you know, trying to take possession of this. It needs to be impersonally just manipulated, dealt with. See, so that's when they say you can't function both in physical creation and spiritual ministry simultaneously. Well, coincidentally, the whole evolving nature, see, is designed to meet, match this need. So initially, there's no personality that's going to mess up this very neutral, non-impersonal energy manipulation. Okay, and then, like I said, notice what they say. The physical creation, in physical creation, the universe sun provides the pattern, while the universe spirit initiates the materialization of the physical energies. So when we talked about each of them having a relationship to physical energy, to individuality, you know, we saw that with the downstepped expression of the infinite spirit, there was this very direct, you know, super additive consequence, universal controller, Isle of Paradise, giving infinite spirit, being downstepped. So you'd expect any physical functioning that to be very overt and direct. And it is. You know, that's it. The creative spirit is really doing the hands-on manipulation. You know, that word starts out with the word hand. You know, to manipulate. Okay, that means, so very literally, that fact is the hands-on. The not so immediately hands-on to the energy is where the creator sun comes in, because we saw that relationship to the aisle was not so much in the actuality, but the reality of the aisle as the absolute of pattern. When they say, you know, that the sun provides the pattern, okay, we mean energy pattern here, as opposed to spirit pattern, personality. Talking about energy pattern, and the sun operates in the power designs. Purposed energy, patterned energy is power, right? That's what the word power means. Purposed energy, patterned energy, realityized actuality of energy, power. I see. So he's in that subtler mode, just because of his nature. Again, see, you notice that the way they function is just according to their nature. How they came into existence defines how they can function. And coincidentally, you know, the two of them work together perfectly. What the one can't do, the other one can, and vice versa. All right. So that's the description. So now, as we go to the first section, and then you see the personalization of the creative spirit, you know, we're picturing this phenomenon coming down, and there's no mother deity that's really experienceable by finite beings yet. So it's you know, somehow super supreme yet, apparently. Okay? But they must be talking about this coming down, you know, into experienceable for finite beings, you know, mode. So that's what we're looking to see what they talk about here, is how that mother deity starts to come down so that it isn't just an it, and it's a she. Yep.
So what another way to say it would be possibly that the sun is kind of the architect, and she's, you know, the, what do you call
Contracting. Well, she's very much building, you know. See, I mean.
Well, I'm talking about it from a crude. I'm getting a little lost with as deep as you're getting, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to sort of bring it down to where I can understand it a little bit better. And I'm just trying to understand what they're trying to say here, which is, you know, she can't do both things at one time, and he does one of them, and she does the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, but those are two separate things. Remember, we're not talking about any personal, any creature stuff yet. And that's what they mean by...
Oh, initiates materialization of physical reality.
You know, the physical creation and spiritual ministry, see, is, you know, the spiritual... I mean, there's no spiritual ministry going on at all yet with either of them.
No, because there's no personality.
Because there's no beings or anything
right,
yet.
But there could be rocks. I mean,
right, we're just dealing with rocks, quote unquote. Yeah, that's all we're dealing with here is material stuff, yeah.
Okay.
And just whether or not... Who's going to handle... You know, actually forming the energy, and then who's going to apply pattern to that, purpose it so that it's related to eternity, to purpose energy, make it power. What pattern, in what way does it relate to eternity? That's what the eternal, or the creator sun.
Those are plans that he's already gone through, theoretically, what we learned about him. He had his plans together, et cetera. Figured out how he's going to design this.
Right. He had that all.
Through the personality she creates, actually puts it
out. She's the means by which he has something to purpose. See, I mean, without her, you know, he can be wanting to purpose all he wants. There's nothing to purpose. Okay? He can't bring the stuff into existence. He's not that kind of creator. See that? So you see how creating has been, you know, split into two parallel modes here. Together, they're a full creative phenomenon, but, you know, separately, they can't, they're just part. They can't do the whole thing. Okay? So that, yeah, just reflect on that whole bit about pattern, you know, be it spirit pattern, personality, or what we usually just call pattern, energy pattern, that in both cases, you're either taking, you know, a spirit, you know, actuality or an energy, a material actuality, and you're purposing it. You're, when you're patterning it, you're saying this is how this is going to fit in to the big picture. There's a take an oxygen atom. An oxygen atom is a reality. It's not just an actuality. It's power. It's not just energy. You have an underlying actuality, a mirror energy that we don't really fully appreciate yet. And then that energy was purposed. How do you see that purposing? One of the things that the universe needs is for beings to be able to respirate. Well, coincidentally, there's some energy that's been purposed to that end. One of the atoms is fundamental to respiration. That's not, you know, it's not like God just saw that there's all this different actuality. It's like, well, you know, I could use that for respiration. No, I mean, you start with actualities, none of which have any purpose. And then they're all purposed. Every atom has a purpose in the whole. You know, that by and large we can't even appreciate yet. You know, one day in the future, you'll understand, you know, what purpose in the big picture praseodymium has or something, okay? Okay? I mean, it has just as indispensable a purpose as oxygen or carbon or hydrogen. If you don't have 100, each of them with their own specific purposing, you can't make the universe of universes. And the fact that locally here, we only, you know, the energy, the background subelectronic level environment is so intense that you don't even have any stable ones above 83. That shows you how limited we can go towards the depths of light and light on this planet yet. I mean, we don't even have all of the parts yet. We only have 83 of the 100 parts that are available for long-term use. If you try to, you know, you can use uranium for a while, but eventually it will decay.
Unobtainium.
Take you a little
bit. You know, but see that, you know, just to recognize that when you go to like Gerasim, where the master physical controllers have completely clamped down on the background environment, so that they're not allowing that background environment to disrupt any of the atoms, and you have all 100 stable. You'll begin to see there, you know, oh, that's what you use gold for. It's not just for raccoons to collect. Raccoons that are shaped like this. Okay?
You know, so what you're saying here is that this part is referring to right now, before the Netherlands is even formed, if you're using Netherlands as an example. This is the very beginning where they're out in this area. Not quite.
Not quite. Remember, before the Creator Son and the Creator Mother Spirit came out 300 billion years ago, the power beings had the local universe all roughed out. All the stuff that, you know, started outside of the Milky Way has gotten down into the Milky Way. They've collected now a local universe size collection of nebulae.
Right, rocks exist.
Oh yeah, right. There's all kinds of material. Okay, whole galaxies, you know, have been combined.
But before they existed, did these guys have anything to do with them?
No. All that pre-existing stuff prior to 300 billion years ago was the master architects at working, you know, telling the power beings what to do.
Who knew they were going to use the 100 elements? elements and that kind of
stuff. Well, yeah, I mean, every place has 100 elements and stuff. What we're talking about here is at a higher level of purposing. It's not that deep down level. You know, it's not like some creator son says, I don't want to use, you know, oxygen, you know, that element, you know, for respiration. I want to use, you know, boron or something, okay? No. I mean, see, they don't have, the master architects have all those things fixed. They don't have any choice about a lot of those foundational things. No creator son can vary all those foundational elements. So they're just what the creator son is purposing is the higher system associations of things, things that we probably can't even really appreciate by and large. But it's going to be the higher level stuff of, for instance, just, maybe one of the ways you can kind of directly get away from our ignorance about matter is a local universe is fundamentally a Maranja domain. Okay? And the word Maranja is coined to mean that which is akin to matter. The matter is fixed in every local universe, but how it's akin, how Maranja substance is akin to matter, now that might be variable. Well, you know it's variable. That's one of the things that the creator son in each local universe is going to modify. I want my Maranja, my akinness to matter, to be akin like this, not like that. And I'm going to have my Maranja have this sort of relationship, you know, this sort of modification from the foundation of matter because of the kind of creator son I have and all the plans I have. I mean, everything has to be fit. You know, he can't realize his plans for the local universe if he's got the wrong Maranja substance.
So is her, so life.
The incorrect Maranja substance.
Life, whatever that is.
Yeah, okay.
So she really is creating anything that has life, correct?
Well, we haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay,
that's what, you know.
That's not what they're talking about here.
No life or anything.
Creation.
Yeah. Right, this is just all the physical stuff. Getting, you know, obviously the architectural world, you know, and built.
Physical
and
stuff
so.
Without life.
But, you know, you gotta get everything going in motion so that by roughly 200 billion years ago, you have the first solar systems with worlds that can, you know, have life implantation. Overseeing the subtle details of how evolution is going to play out here. So the creator son and creator mother spirit can tweak you have the common foundation of the material, but then the supreme is engaging that and evolving it. And they're an intermediary. They're saying, I'm going to modify how the supreme can access this and evolve this. See, so it's very high subtle things that obviously we can't understand, but that's what they're doing. They're and they can be such an in between the supreme and the matter like that. It's like, you know, do they really have the authority to, you know, to slip themselves in there? Remember, these are supreme creator personalities. Not only do they have the authority to filter how the supreme engages, essentially, but they're involved in actually creating one aspect of the supreme, the Almighty. Okay, so see, they're very, you know, the supreme creator personalities are very intimately involved in the relationship of the supreme to the universe. Okay, yeah. So that's all been. It was roughed out by the architects and the power beings, and then it was, you know, the basic finishing touches were put on it by the creator son and creator mother spirit in this physical mode. Now they're ready to bring beings into existence. And to do that, it has to become a she. Okay, because it can't make a being. There needs to be a he and a she. And right now we basically, in terms of finite being creation potential, we have a he and an it. We need a she. Yeah, so the primary eruption, that phenomenon, you know, is what we're going to, you know, figure out here now.
One, personalization of the creative spirit. After the completion of the physical organization of a starry and planetary cluster and the establishment of the energy circuits by the super universe power centers, subsequent to this preliminary work of creation by the agencies of the infinite spirit, operating through and under the direction of his local universe creative focalization, there goes forth the proclamation of the Michael Sun that life is next to be projected in the newly organized universe. Upon the paradise recognition of this declaration of intention, there occurs a reaction of approval in the paradise trinity, followed by the disappearance in the spiritual shining of the deities of the Master Spirit, in whose super universe this new creation is organizing. Meanwhile, the other Master Spirits draw near the central lodgment of the paradise deities, and subsequently, when the deity-embraced Master Spirit emerges to the recognition of his fellows, there occurs what is known as a primary eruption. This is a tremendous spiritual flash, a phenomenon clearly discernible as far away as the headquarters of the super universe concerned. And simultaneously with this little understood Trinity manifestation, there occurs a marked change in the nature of the creative spirit presence and power of the infinite spirit resident in the local universe concerned. In response to these paradise phenomena, there immediately personalizes, in the very presence of the Creator Son, a new personal representation of the infinite spirit. This is the divine minister, the individualized creative spirit helper of the Creator Son, has become his personal creative associate, the local universe mother spirit.
Well, that was just a tiny little paragraph. Okay, so step one. All right. Now, before you try to understand anything more sophisticated about what they just described transpired there, I mean, just think about it in simple terms, that I have an entity operating in the local universe called a creative spirit, and something called a quote-unquote primary eruption is going to occur, and something is going to come out from the center of all things and attach to this entity. Something erupts out and bonds with this entity, making it have a different nature and simultaneously personality encompassing it and manifesting. So in simple terms, you just think of, I had a creative spirit, I added something that's now personalizable, and it gets personalized, and there it is, this personalized, modified entity, I now have a being. So that's, from just a simple individuality viewpoint, that's what's just transpired. You've modified the nature so that it's something that's personalizable now, and it gets personalized, and now you have a creative mother spirit. But the very fact that they tell you that first you call it a creative spirit, and next you call it a creative mother spirit, that should be suggesting something. It's like, creative mother spirit. Let's see, the word creative is there, and the word spirit is there. They've just added one word. Looks like they added motherness, okay? And that's what, you know, I've been saying. I mean, to finally come around, it took me years, you know, for that to finally sink in, you know, that it's just right there screaming at you. That's what's been added. Mother deity has been added. God is personalized deity. Okay, if I'm going to have something personalizable now, I must have added deity that's personalizable. See, I've added mother deity, okay? But actually, you didn't add mother deity. Like I said, that's just an initial way to understand it. What actually happened is what I was kind of alluding to before, and you noticed right in the very beginning, they were hinting to that. If you are keen to the words that they're using, and you know what these words are tied to, notice, is it the first very lengthy sentence? Let's see. You know, as you get in there a little bit, It says that you have the agents of the infinite spirit operating through and under the direction of his local universe creative focalization. Okay? You know, what you finally come to understand when you unpack the Supreme Papers, and they're talking about Mother Deity at that total finite level, that's the word that's tied to the Mother. When you have, on the other hand, the Almighty, which is the summation is the Almighty, the focalization is the Mother, those two types of deity, the super additive consequence is the Supreme. Okay, focalization, that's a Mother word. Okay, I'm reminding you, like I said, what you really have is a downstepping expression of the infinite Mother Spirit. The Mother Deity is there. It's a focalization already, even when it's just physical stuff going on. It's just that Mother part is up above the finite and not directly visible, but it's still a focalization. And that's reminding you kind of what, you notice how they described its relationship to the other power beings operating through and under the direction of. So you have all these part-like power beings, you know, and she's this focalizing influence over all of that partness so that it's coordinated in a whole.
She or it?
Well, the higher she, but it looks like an it that's doing it, see? But you know it actually can't be just an it because it's doing this. You can observe that all of their efforts are coordinated. Now, another Mother word, that there's this focalization going on. So you go, there must be Mother, influence up out of sight, And I'm seeing the shadow that it casts in the finite as I see this stuff seemingly magically come together.
But individualized, right?
There's individuality, but it's obviously being invisibly manipulated into wholeness by unseen hands. And where was it? When they said little understood, down there a ways, see, this is why. Because this hand, this coordinating, this focalizing hand, is not sort of right here where you can measure it in the finite. It's invisibly, coming from above. And so it's not open to scrutiny by even the high scientists. Okay? So what you actually see are talking about here is the rest of the story that got started back on the Isle when the creative spirit first separated within the infinite spirit. For remember how long time it was, no one had even seen this creative spirit on the Isle of Paradise. They knew it had to be there because there was a creator son. Where there's a creator son, there must be a creative spirit inside the infinite spirit. And, just a little before the two of them were due to head out, 300 billion years ago, out of the infinite spirit came this creative spirit visibly for the first time on Paradise. But immediately it was absorbed into the master spirit of the super universe that they're going to be going to and was lost from sight again. Remember that description? Okay, what's happening there? Even when it's a creative spirit working out here before the primary eruption, obviously what's going on with that physical stuff is all within a specific super universe. This entity, this creative spirit, that spear point, non-personal element, had to get flavored to a particular super universe. Had to get individuated. It starts out within the infinite spirit, it could go to any super universe. But it needs to be downstepped and individuated, made specific to a particular super universe. That creative spirit part. That was done on the Isle before they left. But now, the Mother part is going to come down, and if it's going to come down, it has to get seasoned, flavored, made specific to the same super universe. So that's what they're describing here. See, what you've got is this fundamental relationship that I told you powers, you know, most of the part one of the book. This fundamental relationship between the infinite spirit and the paradise trinity. You know, you have the three deity presences surrounded by the presence of the functioning of the paradise trinity. And the particular master spirit goes into that functioning of the trinity in relationship to the infinite spirit. And that functioning, that relationship between the two, because you have the creative spirit part, it's really tied to the infinite spirit, and the mother part, it's tied to the paradise trinity. Those two are together. Okay, so that association of those two, very specifically the paradise trinity part, is now going to get made specific to a super universe, downstepped and brought into relationship to the super universe of concerned. Okay.
Is that done on the edge of the aisle where the master spirit is?
No, it's done right center. I mean, you know, the deities can't move. Remember, they're at the center of the upper surface.
I was thinking the master spirit's on the outer edge.
Yeah, but they go. They're mobile. They can move. Okay. Remember, and they have, I mean, they're personal. You know, the seven supreme power directors have, you know, are seated around the periphery. But the master spirits have their headquarters on the upper surface. And so they're all scurrying over to the center. Okay. I'm going to do this. Okay. And you have the one, you have the one master spirit that obviously has to be most intimately involved in engaging, you know, liaising with that association between the paradise trinity and the infinite spirit. Okay. So they can be downstepped through him. But why are the other six, you know, right there in the presence of the paradise trinity too, functioning of the paradise trinity? Because technically it takes all seven of them to have the fullness of relationship to the paradise trinity. Okay. Remember how there's an eighth fact? Just like you have the three infinite persons, and from an individuality viewpoint, the super additive consequence, the fourth fact is the paradise trinity. You have the seven master spirits, super additively, there we go. you have an eighth fact, the sevenfold spirit, that is really the downstepped expression of the paradise trinity in many ways. See, and so it's the seven of them together that bring in that sevenfold spirit that really has the intimate relationship to the paradise trinity. And that's what this is really fundamentally all about. See, is the paradise trinity derivative, the mother deity, has to be downstepped. So unlike when it was just the creative spirit, you know, you didn't need all seven of them. Just that one master spirit, you know, was there and accepted the creative spirit from the infinite spirit. Okay. So that's all the, you know, see, they've got all this is in there. They're giving you all of the logical details. You know, but just to stress, I mean, I've stressed it many times, but, you know, let's do it in context here finally. You know, so the Creator Son decides it's time to start life. And something happens back, you know, something responds back on the Isle of Paradise. There's a response back on the Isle of Paradise. Is it the Universal Father that responds? No. Is it the Eternal Son that responds? No. Is it the Infinite Spirit responds? No. It is the Paradise Trinity. See, there occurs a reaction of approval in the Paradise Trinity. Because this is really the Paradise Trinity's functioning. That's, you know, the Paradise Trinity is taking the lead here, not the three persons. Okay? Paradise Trinity responds. Okay? And just like they said, that little understood Trinity manifestation. Again, Mother Deity stems from the Paradise Trinity, not from the three persons. Mother Deity comes from the Paradise Trinity. Okay, let's see. And we got a whole bunch of things in here. So the Master Spirit liaises with that. It gets, it gets synchronized. The Trinity manifestation definitively, causes this primary eruption, this spiritual flash, this transformational phenomenon to occur. Now, technically, what's happened? What you're doing is what functioning of the Trinity are we talking about here that's going to be needed? If this is going to, if you're going to have a phenomenon that's now personal relative to the finite, we're not talking about the Trinity of absoluteness or the Trinity of ultimacy, the functioning of the Trinity on the absolute level or the functioning of Trinity on the ultimate level. Okay, we're talking about the Trinity of supremacy, the functioning of the Paradise Trinity on the supreme level. Okay, that's fundamentally what is, is being brought into relationship with this Master Spirit, and functioning to bring this Mother Deity down into relationship with the finite. Okay. And the greater details we'll pick up in a little bit, where they give us some more context about exactly, how much we've come down and stuff here, but that is the Trinity of supremacy, the functioning of the Trinity relative to the finite is what's in play here. All right, and even though it's really a deity thing that's going on, Mother Deity is coming down, it has a very direct relationship to finite energies. There's this literal spirit flash. Remember, spirit is a substance that has a radiant, a vector-like phenomenon, just like matter does with photons. There's a spirit luminosity. So there is this literal flash of this spirit radiation that comes out that you can see all the way out in the super universe level. So there's right. Yeah. Right. When you have the eyes to see that, you could be standing there, and see one of these flashes. Because you basically literally have deity engaging the threefold energy system, and there's a reaction, to that. Okay? It's like an inductive spike, see, in the energy system. Flash. Okay? Okay. Basically, as this deity engages the finite, plugs into the finite. All right, let's see, what else do we have there? Like I said, little understood manifestation, and because it's all of this Trinity Mother not immediately observable sort of stuff that's going on, it just seems to, magically, quote-unquote, coalesce out of the whole is the way that it appears to those who are trying to look for the details. What else do we have there? Just a little understood Trinity manifestation. Make sure that that finally sinks in. Took me years, but it finally sunk in. It's like, wait a minute. Responses. Right, okay, so, and then when they say, this is the divine minister. Okay, that's foreshadowing where we're going to go next. Why is that another designation, proper designation for the Creative Mother Spirit? When you say divine minister, what aspect of the Creative Mother Spirit are you emphasizing? The ministration, the bestowing of mind and spirit ministry. Okay, that hasn't been present. When you've just had this entity, the Creative Spirit, there hasn't been any mind or any spirit substrate, any mind or spirit, ubiquitous spirit presence in the local universe. That now is there. Instantaneously, there's a womb of mind and spirit that forms. Okay? You can't have a creature until there's a mind to plug that creature into. Okay? So the first, that now is present. Boom. It's now really, fully describable as a local universe, okay? A womb of mind, okay? I've tried to remind you, when they use the word universe, that means there's a mother that's the underlying upholder, the womb of mind, and perhaps spirit too, of that domain. At the super universe level, the creative mother spirits, or the reflective mother spirits, the reflective mother spirits are just the womb of mind, and the womb of spirit is the master spirit. So it's separated into two anchor points, you know, really. But when you downstep it, the two come together. Creative Mother Spirit's the womb of both. Both the womb of spirit and the womb of mind. It's technically a womb of spirit mind. Okay? Yep, so that's what the minister implies.
In the middle of the paragraph, it mm-hmm. talks about the disappearance of the spirits of shining, mm-hmm. the deities of the master spirit in whose super universe. What do they mean by deities of the master spirit?
Disappearance in the spiritual shining of the deities. Okay. So it's the spiritual shining of the deities, and it's the disappearance of the master spirit.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Complex prepositions there. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to be careful. Yeah, you got to carefully parse these things out. Yeah, now we have a local universe mother spirit. Now we have a mind-spirit ministering phenomenon. So, you know, you literally have a womb of the kind of local universe mind that, say, a seraphim is going to be plugged into. You have a womb of Marantia mind that a Marantia being could get plugged into. You have a womb of adjutant mind that material beings can get plugged into. And you have the Holy Spirit. Because technically how you got this womb of spirit and mind is you took what's above. You took the cosmic mind and you downstepped it. This master spirit is very intimately involved. You have this very direct expression of a master spirit as a reflective mother spirit at a super universe level. See, you're downstepping that. So what's all together up there is the cosmic mind. When it gets downstepped, the spirit core, the unity core of that mind remains as what we call the Holy Spirit that's now ubiquitous. But the more individuality-like aspect of that mind, the part of that mind that engages individuality, that engages matter, okay, that separates to a degree from that spirit core. So you really think of the Holy Spirit as being separate from mind, rather than the two all together in one cosmic mind. So you downstep, and, you know, and then it's just a matter of thinking about, like for us, you know, when we're a Marantia being, we plug into the Marantia mind, the more individuality-like and engaging part, and then we have the Holy Spirit on top of that. But if you downstep even further, that Marantia mind splits into seven phases, along with the Holy Spirit, which, you know, is fundamentally unity-like and doesn't get split up.
All of those separated, or are they in relation, all those different types of mind?
From a bottom-up point of view, they look like the tips of fingers. They look definitely, you know, the first adjutant, you know, is, you know, if you think of it conceptually, is here, and there's nothing here, and then here's the second adjutant. I mean, they're not, you know, they're separate. They're literally separated from a bottom-up point of view. But obviously, just using this hand analogy, if I go to the top-down point of view, wait a minute, there's one hand, many fingers. See, if you follow them up, they merge together. You can even see that, like I was saying. If you follow up the seven adjutants, they merge together into one Marantia mind. Okay? Okay. You know, and then the difference is up there, you know, Marantia mind and sort of just the general local universe mind are sort of parallel expressions. Of each other, you know. But, you know, they're a like single phase mind as opposed to a seven phase mind. Okay. But inherent within that one overt phase, there must be, you know, some dimensionality. Because after all, you know, remember they tell you, you know, that in one way of thinking about going up to psychic circles is kind of bringing these seven adjutants together until they merge into one Marantia mind. And you continue that psychic circle work, you know, even when you're in the next life, when you don't have adjutants anymore. It's like, well, how could I continue bringing the adjutants together if I don't have adjutants anymore? So it must be within the Marantia mind. There's a quasi-separateness, and I'm trying to get it all nice and symmetric and really unified in one, you know, phase of mind. See, that's what you're doing.
So So now, basically, you're really, now you're creating, even though there could be mind present in the space and the universe before that,
right,
there,
beings,
yeah. But now you're creating a situation that is, you know, the presence of the Mother Spirit, i.e. the presence of Nebadon, now has its own unique...
particular flavor of mind.
...of the cosmic mind that she's right. representing.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously there was. Before there was this presence of mind and spirit we're talking about, I mean, that, you know, and it still is right now. The space is filled by the presence of the reflective mother spirits of our super universe, you know, so that a being that's plugged into that higher mind can be in this room, but so can a being that isn't plugged into that higher mind, that's plugged into the lower mind of the creative mother spirit, you know, being like me. But unlike that being that's plugged into the higher level, who can go outside of the local universe and not come unplugged, if I go out of the local universe, I come unplugged and I go unconscious, you know, because I'm not plugged into that higher womb of mind. So it's co-located spatially, but it's vertically higher, you know, and my, you know, I can't be, you know, that higher mind can't reach down far enough to seat on my electrochemical mechanism. You know, it won't be able to seat on me until I'm a first stage spirit. Yeah.
What are the phenolators plugged into?
Ah, yes. Okay, just a little quickly. So when you look at the, you know, psychic circles in the sevenfold, you know, when you recognize that to fully describe the picture, you know, you need three columns, not just the sevenfold creators and the sevenfold controllers, but you need the cosmic mothers. And we were just talking about creative mother spirits and reflective mother spirits, you know, and as you're filling it out, you know what goes in these things, and it's like, okay, the universal mother is here. Wait a minute, there's another line in here. You know, and that's where you finally recognize, oh, yes, the unrevealed but disclosed creative mother agencies of the ancients of days. You know, there's an individual super universe level of mind, sevenfold, but there's a collective super universe level of mind. Remember the ancients of days, there's 21 of them, but you know, they're all the same deity flavor. They're common all the way around, unlike the master spirits that are distinct. Okay? You know, so the mothers that are tied to the ancients of days, see, have a collective universe presence of mind all the way around. That's who you're plugged into as a finaliter. You're plugged into that higher womb of mind because you need to be able to go to all seven super universes.
And that's why you don't have to go back to paradise to get
there. Right, and you don't have to somehow get retooled or something like this, you know, reminded, literally, you know, re-minded, right? Yeah, yeah. See, once you you recognize that, you know, where that mysterious disclosed fact fits into the picture, it's like, oh, and that's the answer to the question of, you know, because if you think about it, it's like, well, maybe I'm directly plugged into the universal mother's, you know, womb of mind. It's like, no, you're not up functioning at the supreme level. You're trying to get up to the supreme level, so that's illogical. Oh, there's got to be something in between, something that bridges the gap between the lowly level of a super universe, one super universe, and the universal mother of the whole grand universe.
So this is the mind then that we would use post
paradise. You know, when you come out of paradise.
After the oath.
So what do we use when we're going in, when we're in paradise?
Well, that's complicated. Let's right. I mean obviously there's a central universe. Okay. It's just we don't want to try to. That's a lot. To, you know, that's unpacking the pattern universe. That's a very complicated thing to understand. That whole how are you being sort of bridged from being in just a super universe, you know, through the whole central universe onto the aisle, and then finally kind of being out in this collective presence.
Okay.
Yeah. You're being handed up through the sevenfold, basically.
Is that in the total deity class, or is
that in the pattern universe? That's in the pattern universe that will, you know, be an advanced class some point down the road to get to that level. It's a pretty complex to unpack the central universe and understand its universeness. very complicated thing because it's, you know, it's an eternal fact. And so it really has embodied in it everything that you need for all of the evolution of the whole, you know, cosmos, infinite even, let alone the master universe. It's, you know, it's a very complex structure that in many ways has is overkill for what you'll need of it going through it. But nonetheless, you are in relationship with all that complexity too, in very simple, subtle ways. Yeah. But one day, you know, when the master universe is settled in light and life, you know, you'll be related to that stuff at a very high, definitive level.
Yeah. So when you're differentiating the answer to the question, yep, of the super universes on a or a super universe as a individual universe and then as a collective, is that the difference in the whole and?
You just think about how there's, you know, there's, remember the reason that that collective super universe level isn't talked about directly is because the revelatory mandate told them they couldn't talk about what post-ascension. You know, that's why the mother of the collective super universe is not directly revealed, but it has to be disclosed. See, because, you know, I mean, eventually you ask that question.
Right.
See? They know that a human will eventually, like, wait a minute, I've got a block here that needs a mother in it, you know, and, oh, they coincidentally disclosed that, you know, they can't talk about the details, but they give you the name they want you to use, you know, isn't it suggestive that they're creative, you know, they just say creative agencies, like creative spirit,
yeah.
I could stick the word mother in there. Creative mother agencies. Yeah, see, they can't put that all together for you. You have to put that together. But see, it's obvious once you get it. Yeah. Because you got to have a mother presence that's above the level of the super universes, but below the level of the universal mother. Something that transitions you up to seventh stage spirit.
Well, see. That one little section was against the mandate. It just seems like everything.
No, again, it's just trivia. Like they aren't allowed to reveal anything about post ascension, the other half of your finite career. You know, basically, there's nothing about it in here.
Nothing about it.
You know, the other half of your relationship to the finite. When you're God the Mother revealing, that's not directly talked about in here. Basically, they're only allowed to talk about when you're God the Father seeking.
And you can't say it's time to be about my mother's business.
Well, they do. See, they do occasionally. If you look, once you recognize that that's what, then you go, oh, there's that one sentence where they say you have this new relationship to the eternal mother's son on the aisle. See, they're talking about how, see, you've gone up a level in mother. Yeah, there's all these. It's there. It's just not directly talked about. It's indirectly talked about because they weren't allowed to directly tell you, but they have to give you the form that you're going to need so that you can't fall off the edge of the picture. It's a whole picture. So everything that you need to not ever have a hole or an edge is in here somewhere. You know, and the more you start asking questions and fleshing it out, the more you go, wait a minute, I need to be, oh, that's the reflectivators, you know, or, oh, that's the qualified vicegerents, or, you know, you slowly discover these beings that they disclose but don't reveal where they fit in as you expand the picture. All right, let's get some more.
From and through this new personal segregation of the conjoint creator, there proceed the established currents and the ordained circuits of spirit power and spiritual influence destined to pervade all the worlds and beings of that local universe. In reality, this new and personal presence is but a transformation of the pre-existent and less personal associate of the Son in his earlier work of physical universe organization.
Right. That last part we've talked extensively about already. So we understand that. You know, they're just reminding you of what I was saying. The ordained circuits of spirit power and spiritual influence. You know, initially, the thing that we can directly understand that they're describing there is the Holy Spirit. You know, this ubiquitous spirit substrate that has a personal ministry modulated on it. She fundamentally has this spirit substrate. Just think of it literally as an energy substrate, substance, you know, that pervades all of space. And then on that substrate, there's modulation, there's ministry. So there's a spiritual influence, just the actuality of the spirit presence, but then there's spirit power. There's purposed, you know, spirit. That the Holy Spirit, quote unquote, is not a person. It's a spiritual ministry, but it is a personal spiritual ministry. It's the spiritual ministry of a person. There is spirit power to it. Okay? So is the Spirit of Truth, a personal spirit ministry. Another purposing of that, a modulation upon that spirit substrate. You know, in both cases, she's the spirit substrate. She's ubiquitous. And there's two different, you know, once you have Pentecost, you know, there's two personal spiritual ministries, two different modulations of that substrate, two powers present, along with just the literalness of the spirit influence. You know, and why do you want spirit influence just in and of itself? Because you want the literalness of the presence of unity to be juxtaposed to your individuality so that there can be a super additive consequence of associativity so that you can have a threefold nature that can be encompassed by personality. You'd like to be able to personalize something, and you can't personalize mere individuality or even individuality plus associativity in some abstract sense. You know, the associativity only comes from, you know, bringing the individuality and unity together. So that Holy, you know, when you think about the Holy Spirit, you know, you being encircled in the Holy Spirit, at just the energy level, actuality level, that brings unity in relationship with your individuality. And now there can be the fullness of mind, the fullness of associativity, a phenomenon that can be, that personality can identify with and encompass. A triunity can be present and encompassed. Until you have that, you don't literally have unity, so there can't be personality. That's why, you know, prior to roughly age six, you don't have the direct engagement of your personality. Okay. Let's see, anything else there? No, but just, you know, that whole bit, you know, destined to pervade all the world. Like I said, you know, you didn't have this ubiquitous presence until now. Okay.
This is the relation of a stupendous drama in few words, but it represents about all that can be told regarding these momentous transactions. They are instantaneous, inscrutable, and incomprehensible. The secret of the technique and procedure resides in the bosom of the Paradise Trinity. Of only one thing are we certain: the spirit presence in the local universe during the time of purely physical creation or organization was incompletely differentiated from the spirit of the Paradise Infinite Spirit. Whereas, after the reappearance of the supervising Master Spirit from the secret embrace of the gods, and following the flash of spiritual energy, the local universe manifestation of the Infinite Spirit suddenly and completely changes to the personal likeness of that Master Spirit who was in transmuting liaison with the Infinite Spirit. The local universe Mother Spirit thus acquires a personal nature tinged by that of the Master Spirit of the super universe of astronomic jurisdiction.
Okay. again,
the apple doesn't fall too far.
Yeah, again, a whole bunch of things there, but let's take it one step at a time. Okay, so this is the relation of a stupendous drama in a few words, but it represents about all. Okay? Have we not already seen that why the word about is there? You can go way beyond just the words here. I've been filling the room with a whole bunch of words so far tonight. Okay? Fleshing this out more. That's why the word about is in there. Because you can go beyond the starting point suggestions that are in front of you here. Put the rest of the pieces together. Okay, instantaneous, inscrutable. Like I said, it's not happening out front overtly where beings with really good high eyesight can observe all the details and measure the spirit energy and, you know, and all this sort of stuff, tell you exactly how it, you know, it all is going about and understand it, you know, comprehend it, wrap their mind around it. You know, it's happening in this Trinity Mother mode where it's just not localized and discernible. Okay, so again, that's why they're saying that. The secret of the technique and procedure resides in the Paradise Trinity? No.
No.
In the bosom of the Paradise Trinity, which is the Mother. Right? Okay? Mother deity comes from the Paradise Trinity. Again, like I said, they're not allowed to state these things directly, you know, not only because of those sorts of limitations we talked about before, but remember the really fundamental thing about coming into an understanding of experiential deity in contrast to existential deity, it has to be an experiential process to acquire a true relationship with experiential deity. Having a true understanding of existential deity can be done in a fiat-like mode, where it's just laid out directly in the text, you engage it properly, and boom, there you have it, a true understanding of existential deity. But to get a relationship, especially to the mother, is the individuality of the whole, if you're going to have a true relationship to the individuality of the whole, you can't acquire that in a particular sentence or paragraph. It can't be condensed into a paragraph. Because if you come into relationship with what's in that paragraph, it will not be a true relationship to the individuality of the whole. The revelation is constructed so that the only way to come into a true understanding of Mother Deity is once you can comprehend the whole revelation simultaneously. Okay. And well, there's once then you can do something with it. Once you have it, then you can live it. But just to get a relationship with Mother Deity is so much subtler, so much more complex. You can't find it in the parts. The Father's the individuality of the parts, so you can find him in a part, in a paragraph. The Mother's individuality of the whole. You can't find her in a part, in a paragraph, or even in a paper. The closest you get in the fifth epical revelation to suggesting a localization of recognition with the mother is when you, like I pointed out, when we went through the last five papers of part three, you know, that those last five papers are a symmetric structure. Where if you start at the two ends and move in, one section at a time, there's one central section to those whole five papers. In that one central section of those five papers, the word mother appears a whole bunch of times, and it doesn't appear except just one time on each side, incidentally, in referring to the local universe mother. Spirit. But you know, so you do a search, and all of a sudden, mother, 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 you know, it is one section. It's like, what the heck?
Nine times.
And it's because it's literally, remember, she's this center. You know, just like we understand in the local universe, where the more personal she becomes, the more thicker she becomes on the center of the local universe on Salvington. There's a centerness, okay, that is there, and so they literally constructed those last five papers to reveal that truth that even with the universal mother, there is a centeredness. Okay. And remember, they're suspicious that that centeredness is actually in the seventh super universe. Remember how they think once the grand universe is settled in light and life, that centeredness of the universal mother now will actually become the point at which the individualized being, the supreme being, will have his headquarters. That's why they suggest that. See, is, you know, he would probably take up his headquarters where the headquarters seems to be foreshadowed already, this denser point in the subtle presence of the universal mother. Yeah.
I just get this feeling that if we associate our mind with the revelators, with the authors, and we do that page 1 through 2000,
mm-hmm.
that there would be a super additive super summate, thing happened, like a burst of elevating something that you didn't think you could do by yourself, yeah. because you have a thought adjuster that's somehow...
Well, and the Spirit of Truth and the Holy Spirit, yeah. but only if you actually have a triunity that can be encompassed by personality, because only a personality is going to have that super conscious experience where it will come into relationship with the whole. See, so this is another thing. I mean, this... what I've been talking about and coming into relationship with the whole is just a struggling animal origin, faint flicker of faith. You're not going to get that experience. You're going to read from page 1 to page last, and it's going to be part, followed by part, followed by part, followed by part, and I've forgotten the first 3 already, followed by part, followed by, that struggling animal origin phenomenon cannot relate to the whole.
That may happen in the beginning.
And it can't help but happen in the beginning. That's the only thing that can happen in the beginning. So it requires a constant effort of supplying the favorable conditions of being grown so that you become more personal, and finally personal enough that you can begin to go, aha. I mean, like I was just describing, it took me years before a couple things thought, it's like, wait a minute, mother. What is this mother thing? I never even stopped to think about that. And then you start noticing some things, and then this subtle super conscious phenomenon that's been going on for years suddenly starts to coalesce, and you get these flashes of aha. Because fortunately, even as minimal as we all are by nature to begin with, God gave us all a little bit of personal wholeness by grace. A minimum amount, so that super consciously this is happening. But the trick is to finally, allow that to grow enough that it can become a conscious phenomenon, and you can actually get an aha instead of just something that only the adjuster can see way up in your super consciousness, and it patiently waits for some future time, a million years from now, when it can actually make that a conscious phenomenon. Can you get it to be a conscious phenomenon now? All right, let's see. What else we have there? There's a bunch of things. Okay, so yes, the bosom of the Paradise Trinity. In other words, the mother. Mother stems from the Paradise Trinity. Then they say, you notice this comment about how that creative spirit, they say was incompletely differentiated. That's what I was describing. You start out in the wholeness of the infinite spirit, and you differentiated the spirit part via a particular master spirit, but you hadn't differentiated the mother part yet. The mother part was still in a higher whole domain. It wasn't downstepped into a localized super universe domain. Okay? So... See, that's what they mean. Now it's fully differentiated. You've individuated that wholeness down into a particular sevenfold individuation of spirit unity, one of the super universes. Now both the spirit deity and the mother deity are differentiated from a higher whole nature. Okay, and then when they say that this phenomenon changes to the personal likeness of that master spirit who was in transmuting liaison with the infinite spirit, the local universe mother spirit thus acquires a personal nature tinged by that of the master spirit of the super universe of astronomic jurisdiction. Okay, now personal nature, not personality. Okay, because every personality is absolutely unique. The personality of the creative mother spirit, or our creative mother spirit, is absolutely unique from the personality of the seventh master spirit. There's no overlap in those two personalities. But what is personalized, the nature, the deity, is definitely taking a certain flavor. So the personalized self, the personalized deity, that other sense of using the word personality, you know, okay, that has a flavor of a particular master spirit. It's like, well, wait a minute. If I go back and I remember what I read in the Supreme Spirits paper, they talked about these reflective spirits. And they said that there were seven different flavors of reflective spirits. That there was one type that was flavored like each of the master spirits. I mean, this sounds an awful lot like they're describing one of those reflective spirits, you know, that, you know, because they said this, you know, the same thing, that one of those reflective spirits, you know, acquires a personal nature tinged by, you know, that reflects that of the master spirit of that, you know, that is liaisoning to bring it into existence. You know, and that's why you have seven of them, so that you have all seven flavors, all seven schemes, you know, in each super universe. Seven reflective mother spirits in each super universe. Remember I was saying? I mean, more literally, what's happened is you're taking you have seven reflective mother spirits in Orvinton, and you're taking one of those reflective mother spirits and downstepping it. Okay, and the way you can understand that, technically, there are only seven reflective spirits. There's one mother of the super universe. So there's seven different flavors of spirit, one flavor of mother in the super universe. So that one flavor of mother, you're downstepping it relative to one of the separateness of one of the reflective spirits. And now you have the mother deity not at the collective super universe level, but specific to one super universe. See, so literally what you're doing is bringing a downstepped expression of the seven reflective mother spirits, but differentiating the mother part now too, and not just the spirit part in seven, and expressing it as a creative spirit, creative mother spirit. Okay, that's what they're describing there.
Tinged. Perfect word for that.
Yep. Yep.
Well, and we're changed the same way.
Right, and so we are too. Yes. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, very literally so, I'll just remind you of the sentence, you know, and when it says that the mother influence dominates the human personality throughout the local universe childhood of the growing soul. And what is that mother influence? We just read it. You are going to be definitely tinged by the seventh master spirit. See, but more immediately, it's the mother, you know, expression relative to that master spirit that you're being bathed in and, you know, and marinating into a certain flavor. Okay? All right.
Rejoice.
Okay. Let's see. All right, so let's get the rest of it there.
This personalized presence of the infinite spirit, the creative mother spirit of the local universe, is known in Satania as the divine minister. To all practical intents and spiritual purposes, this manifestation of deity is a divine individual, a spirit person, and she is so recognized and regarded by the Creator Son. It is through this localization and personalization of the third source and center in our local universe that the spirit could subsequently become so fully subject to the Creator Son that of this Son it was truly said, all power in heaven and on earth has been entrusted to him.
Okay, and we talked about that before. Remember, that's just, they're just reminding of what we discussed prior, that that you've got this mother deity nature now that's been brought down, so now there can be this cooperative subordination to this local universe expression of the Paradise Trinity in that supreme deity that the Master Son now possesses. You know, that she's going to put herself underneath that downstepped expression of Trinity nature so that it's localized to the local universe. You know? Whereas obviously a reflective Mother Spirit is putting, you know, herself in cooperative subordination to Trinity at a higher level. And creative mother agencies in ancient days a higher level yet. Okay. But the creative Mother Spirit wants to be able to put herself in cooperative subordination to the Paradise Trinity in this downstepped expression of Trinity likeness, which isn't in place until you have a Master Son. You haven't got it differentiated down to the local universe scale yet. Okay, and then let's right away, this next paragraph gives us a little more of the story here.
Number two, nature and the divine minister. Having undergone marked personality metamorphosis at the time of life creation, the divine minister thereafter functions as a person and cooperates in a very personal manner with the Creator Son in the planning and management of the extensive affairs of the local creation.
Of their local creation.
To many universe types of being, even this representation of the infinite spirit may not appear to be wholly personal during the ages preceding the final Michael bestowal, but subsequent to the elevation of the Creator Son to the sovereign authority of a Master Son, the creative Mother Spirit becomes so augmented in personal qualities as to be personally recognized by all contacting individuals.
Okay, so like I said, this is, you know, directly tied to the previous paragraph in the previous section there. Okay, so now notice, and they give you the clues. They start out, they say that thereafter functions as a person and cooperates. When you talk about cooperative subordination, see, there, only a person can do that cooperative part of that cooperative subordination. Now you have a personal phenomenon, so there can be cooperative subordination. That is, if you've got that which you can be subordinate under, that Trinity expression, like I was just saying. And so notice what they're, you know, they're reminding you of this personality thing. So once you you have the primary eruption, you have a phenomenon that higher beings can recognize, or you have a presence, let's say it that way, that higher beings can recognize as personal. Whereas before that, when it was just a creative spirit, only Michael could. Okay, so what does that imply? If higher beings can recognize the post-primary eruption creative Mother Spirit as a person, we're talking about finite beings, but the lower beings can't recognize it. Oh, okay, so in other words, this personality has been brought down from some super supreme level that only the Creator Son could experience down to the supreme level. You have a number of supreme personalities, you know, that we've been reading about, you know, that they're definitively at the supreme level. You know, and finite beings recognize their personal nature. So she's been brought down at the supreme level, but she's not really personal definitively down in the finite, the sub-supreme yet, until Pentecost. So only for the last 2,000 years. I mean, for somewhere over 200 billion years, okay, she's been a supreme level personality and could be recognized as personal by higher beings who can really, you know, sense the ceiling of the finite. But those of us who can't even get close to the ceiling yet, no. Okay. But now, for the last 2,000 years, even beings like us, you know, if we had the wherewithal right now, could sense her personal presence instead of just her energy presence, her spirit presence. Okay. Obviously, we've got to get more, clear on what the difference between those two things is to be able to notice that difference. Right now, we're pretty much clueless. We hardly even know what spirit is, let alone separating personal from spirit. All right. So, okay. But it's there. The potential's there now. But, just think about how amazing that is. How recent. Just 2,000 years ago, okay? It's a pretty small drop in the bucket relative to 200 billion or 300 billion or, yeah.
Luck
all right. So this is a huge deal. It's a very new phenomenon.
Chris.
Yep.
Astonishing that even at this stage, we don't worship her.
Well, getting into the details of precisely thinking about prayer and worship, that's another issue. but
conversion and mysticism.
Talking about in relationship to this.
But technically, obviously, we should acknowledge that even at our level, there's very definitively a person that's co-present here with the Creator Son, the Master Son, that you can look to for personal relationship. I mean, before Pentecost, you could, want to look for her for personal engagement, but you couldn't offer it. She wasn't down low enough in the finite as a person to engage you. She is now. So think about how much more personal the personal spiritual spirit ministry of the Holy Spirit is now in the last 2,000 years. How much more you could take the light in cultivating a relationship to that and have it be effective. So how much more sad it is to record that for the last 2,000 years, nothing's changed. People are being just as hopeless as they've always been. Okay. All right, let's see. All right, so that's what's happening. Now fully down into the finite as a person. All right, and like I said, so that can be that cooperative subordination to the ceiling. She has to get down below the ceiling before she can put herself she technically couldn't be subordinate. She wasn't below the ceiling. She was at the ceiling. See? Now she's below, so she can be in cooperative subordination to the supreme ceiling, at least a local universe-sized one. All right.
From the earliest association with the Creator Son, the universe spirit possesses all the physical control attributes of the infinite spirit, including the full endowment of anti-gravity. Upon the attainment of personal status, the universe spirit exerts just as full and complete control of mind gravity in the local universe as would the infinite spirit if personally present.
Okay, so now you have a much more definitive complementary pair here with the the Master Son now and the Creative Mother Spirit. Like that first part, like I said, definitely as a creative spirit, it's like a downstepped expression of the universal manipulator. You go back, they talk about anti-gravity there. Okay, so you have that. You have all that power being stuff. But now there's a womb of mind, and there's an anchor point for that womb of mind. Just like on the Isle of Paradise, at an absolute level, you have the third source and center, the conjoint actor, is the absolute mind, capital A, capital M. And like they said about the Creator Son, the Creator Son is a local center for spirit gravity, as if the absolute spirit, the absolute center for spirit gravity was down, was literally present on Salvington, or wherever he is. Now you have, the parallel fact that you have this. It's just as if the absolute mind, the conjoint actor, was here. Okay. So you have this mind, local mind gravity. You have a presence of mind and a gravity within that presence of mind, a local gravity center, drawing you. Up and towards this, up and in. Okay, mindily, as well as drawing you up and in spiritually with the Creator Son. So so that you have the full phenomena. So like I said, see how much more now, I mean, obviously that started with the primary eruption, but you know, now it's all the more personal. See, so all the more you can take up this challenge of consecrating your mind to the universal harmony of God the Mother. You know, you will get gravity assistance with that so much more than you ever did before. The potential for kindred minds, for the actual brotherhood of man, not just kindred spirits, the potential for the brotherhood of man is so much more in play now. That's why it's all the more sad to record that no one is taking, you know, advantage of this.
Okay. Some time ago, last few weeks, you were talking about three levels of mind, basically. The mind that engages the senses, the lowest level of mind.
Okay.
Then a level above it, the abstract level.
Oh.
Now, to me, that's what you're talking about. This is what we do in the group. It's the abstract level, because you're creating, you're abstracting patterns and seeing similarities, seeing here. And then the highest level is, I think, what we try to do in Total Deity, and that's where you're piecing together, you're piecing it together here, and then you're conceptualizing the whole.
Yeah.
And I think what you're saying right there is that the mother before, it was just at the top level, that conceptualizing the whole as one thing. But now she's come, the last 2,000 years, she's come down to this abstract level. And to where, you know, we can, you know, we can do it through philosophy and conceive the whole by starting to piece it together. Or we can come down, you know, from the whole and see the details of the philosophy.
Yeah, just...
You understand?
Yeah, I understand what you're getting at. Yeah, and just,
your material mind, you're still not going to see any of it.
That's and that's the sad to record.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just without parsing all the details of that, but just in a general sense, yeah, the spirit of that, you know, those kind of three levels of thinking, you have the initial... just material, very just the facts, ma'am, sort of level of thinking, that you really is all you can achieve up through, say, about high school. And then you mature enough when you get into college age that you can begin to bring in abstract thinking more naturally, more generally. But then there's a higher level of really getting up to reflective thinking.
Yeah.
Right. So very matter-of-fact thinking, you know, and then less where it has to be very hands-on and literal, like the only way for me to think about this cup is to actually touch it, you know, and look at it. And, you know, I mean, you start out with that, but then you get to the point where you can contemplate cupness, you know, abstractly. You don't have to literally touch it and see it. You know, you can get more you can think about it abstractly, but still definitively. But then you begin to think about it in the whole. You know, what's the purpose of cupness? Why does it exist? And you begin to reflect on, put it into the universal harmony and understand it in the highest sense. And like I was saying, the more she comes down, the more possible it is for you to go up and through those levels. See? This bi-directional thing. The more she comes down, the more you can go up. So, yes, this is why it's all the more sad to record that for the way has been fully prepared now. That which is above has been brought all the way down to the bottom. I mean, who prepared that way? You know, the Creator Son burrowed a path all the way down to the depths of Golgotha, okay, so that she could come all the way down. So that you could start clear at the bottom and have the fullness clear down at the bottom and get all the way up.
Have a way up.
Have a way up, you know, that's been catalyzed, short-circuiting the normal amount of time it would take of evolution, of growth. You have so much more now. You don't have to wait till a then, you know, on the fifth mansion world or something, okay, when you finally get up to that. That which was only up there is now down here.
Consequently, time's a great need, or time's a great revelation.
Right, right. See, it's here.
It's been 2,000 years.
In this
That's why, you know, that's why I have the reawakening philosophy. It's now actually possible to do the reflective thinking that humans have been trying to do for 2,600 years. You can actually succeed now, because the potential to succeed in that effort has been brought down to us now, especially now that this thing is in my lap. This is what the piece that's been missing for the last 2,000 years. All right, so now is the time to do this, to become personal living philosophies, to become what the mother now allows you to become so much more easily than ever before, instead of just feeling the potential and trying to do it for 2,600 years. You can do it now. All right, let's get the rest here.
In each local universe, the divine minister functions in accordance with the nature and inherent characteristics of the infinite spirit as embodied in one of the seven master spirits of paradise. While there is a basic uniformity of character in all universe spirits, there is also a diversity of function determined by their origin through one of the seven master spirits. This differential of origin accounts for the diverse techniques in the function of the local universe mother spirits in different superuniverses. But in all essential spiritual attributes, these spirits are identical, equally spiritual and wholly divine, irrespective of superuniverse differentiation.
So just reminding you that you know, this really is a downstepping phenomenon as opposed to a fragmenting, maybe, or, you know, the separation is not totally stark. You know, the roots go deep all the way up to the co-infinite level, okay? So even though there's this specificity of creative mother spirits in a particular super universe, the avenue is very direct and within that to continue up through that localization. The localization of a local universe, the localization of a super universe, the localization of a collective super universe, the localization of a grand universe, the localization of a master universe. You can continue all the way and up and beyond. That's, you know, that fundamental vertical continuity of Mother Deity, you know, is a very important part of understanding what Mother Deity has to offer to you in terms of your life. The Father offers you the potential to become a definitive part that can engage unity and not diffuse into it. But the Mother is the way for that part to ascend. She's the continuity vertically that you ascend up through. Like I just read about the Mother influence dominating.
It's all mindful.
Right, right. Yourself is a mind. It's going up through wombs of mind, continuous hierarchy of wombs of mind. Right. Okay. Let's see. Okay, but there's all, you know, so, you know, basically what, you know, there that equally spiritual, you know, again, that real core transcendent potential is inherent in the Holy Spirit. You know, you can transcend insightfully, you know, you can't do it with sight yet, you can still transcend the local universe right now. Go in and up and get an even higher perspective than the local universe immediately has to offer you. It's there at the core of your being. And it's catalyzed there by the presence of the adjuster, which kind of goes all the way up too. But yeah, don't get carried away. All right. You could easily get carried away. Good point. Yep.
The creative spirit is co-responsible with the Creator Son in producing the creatures of the worlds, and never fails the Son in all efforts to uphold and conserve these creations. Life is ministered and maintained through the agency of the creative spirit. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. You renew the face of the earth.
So they're just reminding you of that beautiful little poetic line in Psalm 104 there. They're saying, now that's most directly actualized in the Creative Mother Spirit. You know, they love to, you know, show you where the real truth of a Bible passage lies. It's like, well, no, technically that's the Supreme, or technically that's, you know, the Eternal Son, or you know, they like to sort out the Bible for you because it's all glommed into the Father, you know. You know, our fuzzy Trinity notions that are barely there.
In the creation of a universe of intelligent creatures, the creative Mother Spirit functions first in the sphere of universe perfection, collaborating with the Sun in the production of the bright and morning star. Subsequently, the offspring of the Spirit increasingly approach the order of created beings on the planets, even as the suns grade downward from the Melchizedeks to the material suns, who actually contact with the mortals of the realms. In the later evolution of mortal creatures, the life carrier suns provide the physical body, fabricated out of the existing organized material of the realm, while the universe spirit contributes the breath of life.
Okay, so just a couple things there. I mean, just notice and pointing out, we talked about Gabriel, a bright morning star, you know, before. You know, he's the highest being in the local universe. And notice they're just, you know, just as she's this, you know, ever since way back at the beginning, this downwelling phenomenon, you know, that continues. The creation starts at the top and works its way down, they're pointing out. She's very definitively that way. And, you know, again, that, you know, it's, you know, all the way pre-biblical. It goes back to the depths of human consciousness of, you know, that idea of tying life to some very ephemeral fact, you know, and the most ephemeral thing that the primitive people could think of was breath, you know, that quote-unquote breath of life. Now, of course, what literally do we mean by that? You have matter, you know, and they mentioned how a lot of that construct of the life carriers are involved with that, you know, and there's mind, and there's spirit, and there's personality, but there's this other element, life animation. You know, it's a literal element that is added. And that has two components to it. One aspect comes down directly and solely through the mother. And when you think about life animation in two phases, the foundational phase of being the living vitality, augmented by the reproductive spark, that living vitality, the fundamental animation of everything living, that's coming down to the mother. The reproductive spark is the mother in association with the spirit. Oh, well, isn't that handy that she happens to have mother and spirit deity together? See, okay, so she can do the just mother part, and then because she has mother and spirit, she can do that conjoint aspect of well. It's through her that, very fundamentally, that the reproductive spark that requires the spirit, you know, can get bestowed through her. The just living vitality part that is just tied to mother, the life carriers in their normal unmodified state, where they're not to be a conduit for the reproductive spark, they just bestow that in their presence, like in their laboratory where they're working. Living vitality can come associated with their constructs. That's why life carriers have three parents: Creator Son, Creator Mother Spirit, and Ancient of Day. Right, that Trinity origin being Mother Trinity. Okay, those life carriers have a conduit for just one aspect of life animation, that living vitality in and of themselves, but it requires the spirit, to get that reproductive spark. When you actually have eukaryotic life at the quote unquote life implantation, when you go beyond prokaryotic life and you actually have eukaryotic life, first single cell plant, that needs reproductive spark bestowed upon it.
Yeah, so you can use that oxygen you're talking about.
Yeah, I see. Finally get to that oxygen stuff that those prokaryotes conveniently made for you before that and stuff. Yeah, right. Although the plant doesn't quite need it yet. But once you finally get an animal. All right. Okay, so let's get the last part here.
Well, the seventh segment of the grand universe may, in many respects, be tardy in development. Thoughtful students of our problems look forward to the evolution of an extraordinarily well-balanced creation in the ages to come. We predict this high degree of symmetry in Orvontan because the presiding spirit of this super universe is the chief of the master spirits on high. Being a spirit intelligence, embodying the balanced union and perfect coordination of the traits and character of all three of the eternal deities. We are tardy and backward in comparison with other sectors, but there undoubtedly awaits us a transcendent development and an unprecedented achievement sometime in the eternal ages of the future.
See, again, you could say, why did they stick that paragraph in here? Remember, see, I reminded you that before. See, like I said, there's a reason why at that other spot they think that probably Uversa will be the headquarters for the Supreme Being once, we're in the next age. Because the beginnings of that, relative to Mother, is already in play. And again, this relationship of the Master Spirits, the seventh Master Spirit, and greater relationship to the Trinity, and all those things we read about back in paper 16. They're reminding you of that there, that here. But just the one thing to notice what they're saying, we're tardy and backward. Okay. All seven super universes were started at the same time. Okay. The extent to which we're backward, that other super universes might have to look back to where we are because of our tardiness. See, it's not because we got started subsequent to them. It's just it takes a lot longer. All this stuff is happening in time, and it takes a lot longer to bring everything together, like has to come together, for even the introductory stages in this super universe. When you have the seventh master spirit as the influence, everything has to have this very fundamental completeness to start with. Whereas first super universe, it's just the Father. Or just the Son and the second, etc. You can just kind of think about it. If you think of it in statistical terms of, say, a collision, which is more likely to happen in a given span of time? If you got a whole bunch of stuff rattling around in a container, two things happening to come together at the same point at the same time, or three things coming together at the same point at the same time? It's obviously a lot more likely that two things will come together. Right, it's going to take a lot. You have to wait a lot longer until finally the three things come together at the same point, same time.
Isn't that called a problem? When you have three things come together.
They use that word.
I know.
Right, but yeah. See, just that's what they're referring to. It's just fundamentally, it takes longer. Stuff quote unquote rattles around in this super universe for everything to get coincidentally to the same point at the same time, and you can do one step. And you got to wait. Finally, it all comes. Okay, there's the second step. That's why we're tardy, because it's a more complex phenomenon at every step than it is in the other super universes. Okay. All right. Well, there we have it. So that's the basics. You see how once you finally get this picture, you start noticing all the subtle little words that they've thrown in there. All this stuff is woven in all over in the Revelation, just waiting for you to notice why that word is in there. You can put it all together. But boy, it takes a long time. Even when you're working on it, definitively, very extensively, because it's very complex. Look at how many words we just threw out in the air tonight to get, through this first little bit. You know, no wonder when you really start to try to put together a lot of the complex stuff, like when we did the Total Deity seminar the first time, you know, we did 19 two-hour sessions, okay, just to get the basics in play. I mean, because it's very complex, but it is all there just to be put together. Once you start getting going on it.
Next Friday's July 4th. You have class.
Yeah. I will mention that actually. While everyone's on the webinar still and stuff and everything. Yeah, there won't be any class next Friday because it is the 4th of July. The webinar people would discover that quickly because they won't have a webinar to register for because it's not available. But yeah. So everyone, no class next Friday. All right. Let's take a moment here.